Galatians chapter 3 and verse 1 to 14. O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ has been evidently set forth, crucified among you? This only would I learn of you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law, by what you did, or by the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? Have you suffered so many things in vain, if it be yet in vain? He therefore that ministers to you the Spirit and works miracles among you, does he do it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Even as Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Know therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in you shall all nations be blessed. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continues not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident. For the just shall by faith live. I've altered the wording from the Authorised Version to give the correct meaning. It's translated wrongly here. It's not the just shall live by faith, but the just by faith shall live. And the law is not of faith, but the man that does them shall live in them. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Lord, thank you for your word. Bless it to us tonight, in Jesus' name. We've looked over the past 4 or 5 weeks at the introductions to Galatians, chapters 1 and 2, and Paul is exasperated that the Galatians, who were saved when he came to their churches — Galatia was a whole area, it wasn't a city, it was a whole area where there were many churches — and the people of Galatia, it was a Gentile area, there were Jews living in those areas, but it was a Gentile area, a non-Jewish area. They had responded to Paul's message of the gospel in faith. They'd received it by faith. They'd been saved, born again of the Spirit of God. They'd come to know God's forgiveness and cleansing and life in the risen Lord Jesus Christ by faith. They didn't earn it. They didn't deserve it. By grace, through faith. And all through this, Paul is emphasizing, as he does in Romans, that we're saved by grace through faith. As he says in Ephesians, by grace are you saved through faith. Not of works, lest anyone should boast, I did it my way. Yeah. Isn't it amazing? That's the favourite funeral thing.
Yeah.
I did it my way.
Yeah.
That's a song of condemnation. You say to God, I did it my way. Say, depart from me, I never knew you. Yeah. We come in God's way through the Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul is exasperated. He calls them foolish Galatians. The word foolish is the translation of a word which really means mindless. We're saved by grace through faith, but we still have a mind to use. Praise the Lord. It's not blind faith, as they say. Yes, it's faith without seeing, but that doesn't mean you say you're blind. It's mindless. Foolish Galatians. Who has bewitched you? Who has entranced you? Someone has been interfering with the work and the words of the gospel that you readily accepted when I came, so that you don't now obey the truth. You see, the word of God requires the obedience of faith, not works. In Romans chapter 16, he refers to the gospel being preached to the nations for the obedience of faith. It's preached to the Gentiles for the obedience of faith, the response of faith. Not, I'm going to turn over a new leaf and try my best and do some of the things that you say we should be doing in the Bible. No, it's we come as sinners, we repent, and we're saved by faith. But God makes us, through that new birth, new creations in Christ Jesus, so that what we couldn't do before, by his strength, by his power, we can now do and we can live. Paul was aware when he says, who has bewitched you? Who has entranced you? Who has affected your mind here? He knew. We've seen it in the first two chapters. It was those Jewish Christians, so-called, who had come from Jerusalem, and they had been saying, you can't dispense with the law of the Old Testament. If you want to be saved, if you want to know that you've got eternal life and your sins are forgiven, yes, it's through faith in Jesus Christ, but before you can do that, you've got to become a Jew. Therefore, fellows, you've got to be circumcised, you've got to obey the law of the Jews, and then Paul's saying, no, you're frustrating the work of God by introducing the law, the works of man, the law which we could never keep.
Right.
He knew there were false teachers, but he was aware, you see, that behind the false teachers there was satanic activity. This was a work of the devil to get people off course. Newly saved, steer them astray, get them off course. And the Bible warns continually. When he wrote to the Corinthians, Paul was writing about there are false apostles, there are deceitful workers. And he says it's no wonder, because he says Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. He seems to come with all the right answers, but be careful. When he wrote to Timothy, he talked about the latter times, the times that we're now living in. He said, in the latter times there shall come seducing spirits and doctrines of demons, parading as the truth. You see the church, state of the church at the moment. No, I have to rephrase that. You see the state of Christendom at the moment. Because we're not talking about the true church, the Lord Jesus Christ. It's full of error. It's full of stuff that's not in the Bible. Good works. We're not against good works. But the good works that we are called to are the good works which God wants to work in us through the power of his Holy Spirit, not our efforts to try and justify ourselves before him. Paul knows it's the Judaizers who are behind this. What are they spreading? They're spreading untruth. They're spreading lies. And the Bible says in John chapter 8, Jesus says in John chapter 8 verse 44, it says the devil is a liar, is the father of lies, is a liar from the beginning. The Galatians came to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Saviour and Lord under the preaching of Paul by responding in repentance and faith. They knew that the grace of God would be made available so that they could have what they didn't really deserve. God's grace is that we get what we don't deserve. We deserve eternal punishment. We're sinners. There's nobody in this world today that can say, in the eyes of God, I am not a sinner. I have never sinned. We're all condemned by sinful nature. But these who have come to know God's salvation by grace, God's grace, through faith, they're now being deceived. It's being suggested to them that they need to do the works of the law. Fallen nature, sinful nature, our old nature, before we were saved, wants to do something to make us look better, to hide what we really are. That's what people try to do. They try to hide what they are by putting on a show of good works, doing their best. And whilst the world went abroad doing your best, you go, oh, well done, well done, God says your best is never going to be good enough. The only best that's acceptable to God is his best. We need his salvation. We need his work to be done in our lives. You see, Adam and Eve, if you go right back to Genesis, they did that when they disobeyed God, when they fell into sin, and therefore to death and condemnation. They tried to do that. They tried to cover up their shame and their nakedness by making themselves aprons, it says in the Authorised Version, of fig leaves. It wasn't good enough. Their attempted good works failed. You see, our good works contradict the good news. The good news is that you are sinners, but God loves you. God wants you to be his, and he has paid the price for your sin in the sacrifice of Jesus, his only begotten Son, on the cross of Calvary. Paul says, how have you got to this state? He said, because before your very eyes, we read it tonight, before your eyes, chapter verse 1, before your eyes, we set forth to you in preaching the gospel Jesus Christ. We set it forth openly. It was almost as if it was put on a great big banner and spelt out and illustrated and written down. We made it very clear. We set forth before you Jesus Christ crucified. Crucified. First one it is. Before whose eyes, your eyes, Jesus Christ has been evidently, that means openly, publicly, set forth crucified among you. Your actions now, says Paul, are contradicting that gospel which you accepted of salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ. Salvation through the one who paid the price for your sin. You're now contradicting it. You're saying there's stuff that we now need to do. Jesus did the work. You've taken your eyes off the crucified one. You see, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is not some nice teaching and advice on how to live your life in a good way. There is good teaching there, but that teaching that Jesus gives about the things that we should be doing and the things that we shouldn't be doing, that teaching can only work if we come to him for salvation and are born again of his Spirit. It's the only way it will work. We are sinners and we can't do what he says we should be doing. We need to be transformed. We need to be born again of his Spirit. And Paul is saying to these Galatians, your actions are contradicting that gospel of salvation by grace, God's grace, through faith. You're contradicting it. You're contradicting the crucified one. You're saying that he who did the work, well, it wasn't necessary. Because we can bring in our own works, and they'll be good enough. The gospel isn't advice on how to live a good life, a life to be emulated, a life to be copied. It's a declaration of what God has done. And what God has done, it's in chapter 2, verse 21. Verse 21 of chapter 2, it says, I do not frustrate, I do not set aside the grace of God. If righteousness came by the law, then Christ is dead for no purpose at all, in vain. He died for no reason, for no purpose. He said, this is what you're doing. If your works make you right with God, then Christ died for no reason at all. But we set forth Christ as the crucified one, the one who bore our sin. And he challenged their experience. What happened when you're saved? Verse 2. He said, this is what I learn of you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? There's two courses there. The works of the law, all the Old Testament stuff, you say God gave that, he did. And the history throughout the whole of the Old Testament and the New Testament is no one could keep it. Except one. It was Jesus. It was Jesus. What happened when you were saved? Paul knew because he was there. They were saved because they responded in faith to God's grace and said, Lord, we believe that Jesus died for our sins. And they received the Spirit of God in their lives. Did you earn it? Did you deserve it? No. Was it the works of law or the hearing of faith? It was the hearing of faith. Amen. As we cry out to the Lord, not only have we heard the word which we respond to in faith, but when we cry out in faith in response to that message of the gospel, God hears. Amen. And the Bible says in 1 John chapter 5 that if God hears our prayer, if we know that he hears our prayer, we've got what we ask for. The law says what you must do, and we fail. The gospel says, Christ has done it. Christ has fulfilled the law. What you couldn't do, Christ has done. Verse 16 of chapter 2 says, we know this, that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. And he says to them, the life that you've been living now, depending on your own works, he says, have you suffered so many things in vain? No purpose. In verse 5, he brings this to them, that when, he says, he therefore that ministers to you the Spirit and works miracles among you, does he do it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? He's referring to when he was there with them. He wrote to the Corinthians in a similar way and spoke about when he was with them. And it was with that demonstration of the work of God, the ministering the Spirit, and the work of miracles. He said, how did that come about? Was it by the works of the law or by faith? And the answer, of course, is by faith. God hears faith. God hears faith. Are you so foolish? It's ludicrous, says Paul, that having begun in the spirit, are you now going to be made perfect in the flesh? No. And verse 6 brings us to an interesting little episode. It does open to us the Old Testament. And it does open to us the fact that from the beginning, God has planned this work of salvation. It wasn't people failed to keep the Old Testament law, therefore he changed his mind and he'd do something else. It's been from the beginning. The law was there as a check, if you like. But the law, all that the law does, is it condemns us because we fail to keep it. The Judaizers that came to these Galatian churches and to say to them, well, you've got to do what Moses says. You've got to do what it says in those first five books of the Bible, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. You've got to live as we Jews live, then you can accept Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. The Judaizers were looking to Moses, but Paul was looking to Abraham. He came well before Moses. And Abraham is the wonderful example in the Old Testament, and it carries through into the New Testament, especially in Hebrews chapter 11, where Abraham, by faith, did so many things. Abraham is the man of faith. Against hope, it says in the New Testament, in Hebrews chapter 11, it says against hope, when everything seemed to be against what God had promised, there seemed to be not the remotest possibility that he, to 99 years of age, could have a son. I mean, it started at 75. God gave him the promise at 75. And God's still giving him the promise. There's no way that he was going to have a son. And his aged wife was not going to have a son for him. And yet it says that Abraham believed God. Against hope, he believed in hope. There was no possible hope, humanly speaking. But he believed in hope. In Genesis 15 and verse 6, let's go right the way back to Genesis 15 and verse 6. But God speaks to Abraham. And he brought him out from his tent, and he said, look now toward heaven, and tell the stars, that means count the stars, if you be able to number them. And he said to him, so shall your seed be. And he believed in the Lord. And the Lord counted it to him for righteousness. Abraham was accounted righteous before God because he believed God. It was the hearing of faith. And he looked at the stars. God made the promise. Abraham believed it. And then we come to Genesis 22, and verses 17 and 18. That God is speaking to him again. And he says, that in blessing, I will bless you. And in multiplying, I will multiply your seed as the stars of the heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore. And your seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. And in your seed, this is the wonderful promise, and in your seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice. In your seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. Paul says that in verse 7 of chapter 3 of Galatians here. In verse 6 he says, and Abraham, even as Abraham believed God, and he was accounted him for righteousness, know therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. They've been brought into the promises of God. They that are of faith, not just Abraham's natural seed through Isaac and then the Jews, but all nations of the earth are brought into the promise of the blessing of God. The blessing which comes through justification by faith is for all. And in verse 8 it says that the scriptures foreseeing that God would justify the heathen, the Gentiles. Look at it again. The scripture foreseeing that God would justify, make righteous the heathen, the Gentiles, through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham. Actually, that word in the Greek says he evangelized before to Abraham, saying, in you shall all nations be blessed. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. All nations shall be blessed. God evangelized Abraham. He gave the gospel to Abraham. The good news. Before the law was given by Moses, God had given the good news of salvation by grace through faith to Abraham. It says, in you shall all nations of the earth be blessed. Hallelujah. Jews and Gentiles. So they which are of faith, it says in verse 9 of Galatians here, they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. How? By faith. The only way that Gentiles can inherit the blessing that God gave to Abraham is by faith. They can't inherit it by natural means because we Gentiles are not Jews. It's by faith. And the Jews had to learn that that was the only way for them to be saved too. By faith. You see, for these Galatians, if Christ crucified, which is what Paul was saying in verse 1, if Christ crucified had been kept before their eyes, they would have continued by faith in God's grace. See, for Jesus died to take away the sin of the world. What we could not do through the law, Jesus did for us. He lived that perfect life. And he died to take away the sin of the world. John the Baptist said, "Behold the Lamb of God, which takes away not the sin of the Jews, but the sin of the world, for all nations." No other way but by faith. There's no other way. We have no other link to Abraham, naturally, but we have a link by faith. Our works make the cross of no purpose. The gospel is Christ and him crucified. We can rejoice as much as we want about the birth of Jesus and the life of Jesus and the teaching of Jesus and so on and so forth, but at the centre of this is Christ crucified. The whole importance of his coming, however he was born and however he lived and whatever he taught, the importance is he died in our place for our sin. Christ crucified. Praise the Lord. His finished work on the cross. And it brings justification. Justification is being made right with God. It brings justification. Not by our efforts to make ourselves right with God, but by the work of that new birth that Christ brings into our hearts and lives. And the receipt of the Holy Spirit. God accepts us as righteous. And he fills us with his Spirit. Not the works of the law, but the hearing of faith. What about the works of the law? We need to be justified, made right. What's the opposite of justification? Condemnation. There's only two. We're either condemned or we're justified. We're either condemned or we're made right with God. Praise the Lord. When we're justified, we're declared to be righteous. Not our righteousness, but we're in the righteousness of Christ. And Paul quotes two passages from the Old Testament here. Verse 10. As many as are of the works of the law are under the curse, for it is written, "Cursed is everyone that continues not in the things which are written in the book of the Lord to them." But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evidence, for here's the scripture, the Old Testament scripture from Habakkuk, "The just shall by faith live." Not by works, by faith. And the law is not of faith. Here's the other Old Testament scripture from Leviticus. "The law is not of faith. The man that does them, the law, shall live in them." What you've got there are two ways of salvation, two ways of eternal life, of getting eternal life. Righteousness through faith in Christ, or doing the works of the law. You say, no, that's not the way of salvation. Well, it is. If someone had been born without sin, as Jesus was, and lived the perfect life, but the reason it's not the way of salvation is that none of us can fulfill the works of the law. We start off handicapped, because the Bible says that we are born dead in trespasses and sin. The Bible says in Romans 3, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Amen. There is no way of salvation for us through the works of the law. The only way of salvation is the other way, that he who is righteous through faith shall live. Amen. Through faith in what? Through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. What did he do? He was the perfect man. He was the one that was born without sin and did no sin. He was perfect. The law had no claim on his life. None at all. He's the perfect man. And he died, the eternal Son of God, he died in our place on the cross of Calvary. That's the whole point of the crucifixion, that the wrath of God was poured out upon Jesus Christ upon the cross of Calvary. That's why at the moment of his approaching death, there was darkness over the whole land when he was on the cross. And he cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? He experienced that judgment in our place. When God could no longer look upon his Son. And that message of all have sinned is not just to the Gentiles only, but also to the Jews. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. It says here in verse 11, but that no one is justified by the law in the sight of God is evident, for the just by faith shall live. The alternative is what we could not do, the works of the law. What we could not do, Jesus has done for us. He was made a curse for us. Deuteronomy 21 says, whoever is hanged on a tree and dies by being hanged on a tree is cursed. And Jesus was hanged on that tree, nailed to the cross of Calvary, to redeem us sinners from the curse. He took the curse that we shouldn't have to. Not our works, but his. The curse of the law is upon all human sin and failure. The Bible tells us that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself. But as for the whole world, you must respond in faith. He died for the sins of the world, but the world must respond in faith. Each individual has to respond in faith. God was in Christ reconciling himself, reconciling us to himself. But our only way of salvation is to be in Christ. Therefore, that demands from us the response of faith, that we might be in Christ, that we accept him as our Saviour and Lord. That's why being Christian can't save you. That's why being born in a Christian family can't save you. It doesn't make you a Christian. Church of England will tell you it does, the Roman Catholic Church will tell you it does, but the Bible says it doesn't. We become Christians and we're saved when we repent and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, accept him into our hearts and lives as our Saviour. The Lord, save me. Save me from my sin. And the Bible shows that if we call upon him, he answers. For the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And so in verse 14, it says, Jesus did this work for us, that we might be delivered from the curse, that we might know life in all its fullness in him, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. The blessing of Abraham. The blessing of Abraham might come upon us. And Abraham is set forth as that great man of faith in the Old Testament. And how God blessed him and loved him. And God will bless you and love you as you turn to him and accept that salvation that's in the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't be deceived, as the Galatians were deceived. How are they deceived? Oh, you've got to add to it your good works. Salvation by grace, through faith. Amen.